In reading this passage of Scripture and hearing that Jesus has left the region where he has been involved in the last several weeks in our readings, I thought about those times in my life when I had experienced a crisis. Those places that I went to find reprieve. Places that I went to hopefully find an answer. As you read the passages about Jesus and the Gospels, there is a strong parallelism between Jesus and Moses. I was thinking, as the children were down here a while ago, there were some experiences during Advent that we left out, and one of them was Herod killing all the children. It's a tough thing to talk about with children in times of celebration. During Moses' time, we remember that the babies were being killed, and in the time of Jesus. Jesus has heard that John has been arrested, and he goes to this area by the sea. I wonder what was motivating Jesus. I wonder what was transpiring that caused him to go there. I thought about those times when I'd been privileged to go fishing in the early morning out on the lake, or maybe during vacation to walk down by the ocean. During one of our vacations, Linda and I heard about a region that they were just opening up to the public. And so we made haste and made it over to that region. And there on one beautiful afternoon, far as your eye could see, both to the left and to the right, there was no one on that beach but us. It was a quiet time. Time to listen to the seagulls and to hear the slapping of the waves. And all the times that I have been to the beach, I will never forget that time. And maybe sometimes when you make decisions, it's good to be with the one you love or the ones you love. Maybe that's how you make your decisions. Jesus had been confronted with the reality of John's arrest. And maybe Jesus was thinking about what his future was going to be. That the gospel carries with it a weight of decision. Moses was there in the desert when God came to him and spoke to him, and he journeyed through the wilderness there with the children of Israel. Jesus, too, has had this experience and this time with John and there at the Jordan, and he's been in the wilderness. And so now here is this time of confrontation. What am I going to do with this mission, this ministry that I have received? I remember several years ago when at Bible school, a lady came to the school and she told the story about her brothers determining that God had called them to the Philippines to reach what was called the headhunters, the headhunter tribe, the cannibals. And they told a story about how they flew the plane down the river there in the Philippines and would drop bags so that they could mark their spots. And finally the day came that they landed there in the back part of that jungle, only to be killed and eaten. The sister had a choice to make. Was she going to give up being a missionary? Or was she going to continue to do the work that she felt God had called her to do? I've long since forgotten the lady's name or the river that they flew in. This part of the testimony that I do remember, she led to Christ one of the men that ate her brother. When you think about the task of being a minister, a missionary, the responsibility of being a Christian, when you think about the Colosseums in Rome and the martyrs and those that have died, and yet we gather here today in freedom, security, to worship God and to say, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? Story was told that in New York City there was a playground, and a little girl was climbing up what she thought was going to be the fireman's pole. And so when she got to the top of where she was climbing, guess the fireman's pole had been removed. They perceived that it was too dangerous a toy to have on the playground. I remember when I was a young boy growing up in Joanna, and when you got to the first grade, why, you could ride on the big slide. And if you were fortunate enough to find somebody's bag lunch that happened to have some wax paper in it, and you could put it on your little bottom and slide down the slide, now you could really move. As long as there wasn't any mud at the bottom where your feet would slip out from under you, you could stand up. Sometimes more than not, you landed right on your bottom. But it was fun. I remember standing there one day and a young boy fell off the slide. I can still remember looking down at him and seeing his head hitting the side of that pole that held up the slide 2 or 3 times. I remember my cousin going to visit her one day, and she had a broke arm. She had broken her arm on the monkey bars. As a matter of fact, there were several kids in school that broke their arms on the monkey bars. There were others that got hurt on the seesaw. Some got hurt on the little merry-go-round. In New York, they decided that they would take out the fireman's pole, take out the seesaw, take out the merry-go-round. After a while, they just had a bland playground, sterile, for kids to go and play. They even cut down the tree because kids were climbing trees. When I was on the disaster response committee, after Hugo, I had received numerous telephone calls because people knew that I was serving in the disaster response committee. And I went down there with the idea to Columbia, to the Methodist Center, with the whole idea that when I returned, I would have a plan of action. And I will never forget, I was so disappointed. We went there, we talked about liability issues and how that we could not send people out in the name of the disaster response committee, because if someone were to get hurt, who would be liable? Would they turn back and sue the church? And I arrived home and one of my minister friends called me and he said, Terry, he said, the roof is off the parsonage, the roof is off the church, it's raining, water's coming in, send us somebody. I said, I can't send you anybody. He started crying. I said, but let me see what I can do. Another minister friend called me and he said, Terry, tell us where to go. I said, I'm not going to tell you where to go, but I'm going to tell you who to call. And so my friend called this guy and they went to this church. And they did all the work and the task. Later, I was talking with Bill McNeil, and and we were talking about, I mean, Bill Kennett, and we were talking about liability and responsibility, and I'll never forget, Bill looked at me and he said, "Terry, we are liable. We are all responsible." When I think about a playground, I'm reminded of a few weeks ago when I was putting some salt on my grits and one of the little girls said, "You're going to have a heart attack." I said, "No, you mean I'm going to have another heart attack." I said, "Of all the things that I can leave salt off of, I can't leave them off my grits." And I'm reminded that Jesus tells us not to lose our saltiness. Jesus gave, he spoke of the talents that were given to the servants, and he said he gave to one 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And the one that had 5 went out and used his, and the rest of them, the one that had 1 hid it. And the reality is that Jesus calls us in the ministry to take risk. He calls us to be salt. We don't need sterile playgrounds for kids to play on and then wonder why they're overweight. We need places where they can play. We need churches where people are hands-on and involved, who show their commitment, not because of some criticism, not because of what people will say, but because Jesus Christ calls us to reach out to the children, to the lost, to the lonely, to those in prison, to those that are naked, to those that are hungry. He calls us to be responsible. So Jesus, there on the Sea of Galilee, chooses some more disciples. I will add that in Hugo, the United Methodist Church was one of the very last to finish the work there with Hugo. We were the last ones to leave. Red Cross and all that, they had long since gone. We were still there, still reaching out, still serving, still caring, still giving. What is it that God calls Main Street United Methodist Church to be? For one thing for certain, doesn't call us to be sterile, doesn't call us to be saltless, doesn't call us not to take risk, and doesn't tell us that we will never be criticized. But he calls us to reach out to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.